Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. All right, here's what I want to do this hour. A little different. Didn't really tell Ryan Music, my producer, what I want to do or how I want to do it. Didn't really tell Nick Baugh what I want to do or how I want to do it. Just want to do it this way. Here's what we're going to do, okay? I have found that my favorite thing about what I've been doing since I finished in college is, and doing national radio shows since I stopped playing basketball, is the connections you make with people who you like, had some similar parts to their lives, and they love sports, and you love sports, and you have a phone call, and you talk about stuff, and it makes you think, it gives you different ideas. So here's what we're going to do. Nick Baugh is a friend of mine. I think he picked up his daughter from preschool about a half hour ago. That's why he couldn't join us last half hour, and says he's going to join us right now. And we're almost going to pretend like this is a phone call that you get to listen in on. Make sense? Like, he played basketball in the Big 12 for Kansas, and then he went to Creighton. That's how he got to Omaha. And then he launched his broadcasting career. He had a radio show, which is very successful. He does college basketball for Fox. He also does it for CBS Sports Network. So there's some, and now he does it. Now he turned his radio show. He's like, I want to do a podcast. And his podcast is not totally, but a very Nebraska-centric. Like, he's the guy in Nebraska. Every state has a guy. It's like Tom Brennan is a friend of mine. He's the head coach of Vermont. And I was like, TB, why haven't you ever moved out of Vermont? He's like, my boy, there's 50 states and I own one of them, right? It's a great point. And that's how I feel about Baugh. There's 50 states and he owns Nebraska. Nebraska is taken. So let's pretend that it's me calling Nick. What's up, man? How are you?
Good, man. Doug, it's great. It's great that you checked in. Wasn't expecting you to call. What's up, man?
I appreciate it. Okay, so you just picked up your daughter. Was it preschool? We in school time? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, we were preschool. We're going all day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Oof. And, man, I got to tell you, when the kids are gone for the entire day, you get a workout in. You get a little time to yourself. You know, like, it's just I'm not angry at my daughter being at school all day. She loves it. We love it. It's great. Things are good.
Yeah, now, but she's got to be really tired, right?
Oh, she's exhausted. Like, when you pick them up, they got that like, no, nobody's home, just a totally spent look on their face. So she's passed out right now, just like sitting on the couch, needs a half hour to decompress.
I love that. I actually, it's like one of the few times in which kids come home, you're like, you want to watch TV? Sure, knock yourself out. You've been actually stimulating your brain all day. You can just, by the way, what show, how old is she, 5?
She's 4 and a half. She turns 5 in January. So yeah, she's doing great. We just had our second kid too. So we got a little boy in July. Yeah, we're pumping them out, man.
I know. You're still in man-to-man. One more and you're in zone. Okay, last kid question. What show is she into currently? What's her show?
So she currently is into, she was all in on Bubble Guppies, and now she is into, there's a show on Netflix called Miraculous that somehow my wife found. I don't love it because it seems to have just zero redeeming quality. And maybe this is rationalizing as a parent. Like, I feel like shows have grown, cartoons, like, you know, Blaze and the Monster Machines, they talk about like trajectory and electricity and stuff. I'm like, okay, I can feel a little bit better about letting them kind of zone out for like an hour and watch that stuff. Miraculous seems like just shock and awe, but she's into it. And you know what? If you can steal 20 minutes to talk to Doug Gottlieb and let her watch Miraculous, which is what she's doing at this very moment, I'm not going to argue with it.
I played 18 holes of golf with my son yesterday. Now, look, in fairness, he a lot of times he wants to tee it up on the fairway. But he's got a good little swing. He's talking a little trash.
Yeah.
Talking a little trash. Doesn't like to hit, you know, like out of the sand. He's like, he tried to hit out of the sand. He couldn't. And I had been on a run of playing, and I don't play a lot, but I've been playing some pretty good golf, and I was bad yesterday. Although I bombed a couple of drives, and, you know, say, where's your ball, Dad? Like, we're going to keep walking up here. Like, oh, how far is that? I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. When old man gets a hold of it, it's pretty good. But like, of the things you do with your kid, like I caught a fish with my daughter, I don't know how to fish. So we went fishing in the back bay by my house and we're on a paddleboard and I'm paddling around. She like legit caught a fish. And like the two of us, like, what do we do now? We're like, we don't know. So we've done some fun stuff too.
I love it. Yeah. With golf, because I love golf, but golf is the one activity that you're kind of pseudo miserable the whole time.
Yes.
We all have this idea in our head that you should be better or, man, yes, why can't I make this shot? But then you're done and you come home and your wife's like, was it fun? You're like, yeah, I had a great time. Like, name another thing that you do where you're kind of mad for 4 hours and you're like, man, I can't wait to get back out there tomorrow to do that. Well, if I could, funny. I'd do this every day if I could.
It's a great point. It's funny. There's two things that happened yesterday that are like that. So we were on 10 at the turn. We got there a little late. And so we joined him at like the third hole. And so I wasn't warmed up and I was bad. And then I started to kind of get it together. And then I started duck hooking things and I don't know what was going on. So I got it together at 10 and like I literally crushed a drive straight as an arrow. It turned it over a little bit right to left and just kept rolling and rolling. And I turned to my son. It was kind of like what you said. I said, Hayes, look, golf is one of these deals where you are going to suck more times than you're good, right? You just are. Yep. You're just going to be like, man, this is and then you hit one shot to be like, okay, I got to come back and hit more of those shots just like that. That was that shot. And then here's the other one where I hit another one where we were like, you know, I hit a great drive and then, you know, I hit it to where I'm like hit my seven. I'm usually really good with a seven iron from about 170 away. And right. I snap hooked it. And I told my son, I told him that there's a joke and do you know why they named it golf? There's two different part endings to it. One is because every other four letter word is taken. And then it's also because they felt like GDMF is too wordy, right? That's the one I chose to tell him. And he's dying. He's dying. Yes. He's dying. So anyway, I agree. Okay. So, Nebraska,
yep.
Nebraska. Scott Frost is like, we still want to play football. Like, we hear you. We still want to play football. Is there a path, maybe not back to the Big 12, but to playing Big 12 teams?
I think there's maybe a path. There's going to be a lot of carnage if they go down that path. I mean, I haven't combed through, you know, languages for, you know, your media rights and what all that stuff looks like, but that stuff is just buried in language that I would think is going to be really complicated. All I know is there is a desire, a real desire. Like, I don't think it's a hollow threat when Frost gets up there and says, we want to play. Because not only did he say it, but after the Big Ten announced they're canceling the season, Frost and the university released another statement doubling down on it. And that's the one thing that Nebraska has that is unique for maybe some of these other institutions that have a desire to play this fall that maybe have their conference canceled is Frost or Nebraska has the four key people aligned in lockstep: the governor of the state, the president of the university, the athletic director, and the coach, all in on playing football. And when you are lockstep in those four areas, you're going to try to do all that you can to try to play. Now, when push comes to shove and the ball gets kicked off, do I think that they're going to be able to cobble together a legitimate schedule? I think they're just it's going to be really, really tough. It's going to be really, really tough. I'd be surprised if they do, but I think they're going to do all they can. And that's all I heard throughout the entire summer, Doug, was even if the Big Ten cancels, Nebraska is committed to trying to find a way to play. So I know, at least for me and everybody in the state of Nebraska, I'm not surprised at all that Nebraska kind of finds themselves in a situation, because I think they've been kind of all in on this thing from the jump.
Okay, so why can't they just play games against Big 12 teams, but still as a member of the Big 10?
Yes, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I it goes back to that language that of in a contract that I'm not sure what all that looks like. I think you look at something that we're in an unprecedented situation, and I think we've already seen Riz, you know this well. I mean, Notre Dame's playing in the ACC. This is an abnormal situation. We are canceling things. This is stuff that we've never seen. So I think sometimes when things get hectic and crazy, I don't know why anybody would necessarily get upset at people trying to think about self-preservation. And that's what's so hard about this is everybody's in a different situation. I mean, let's be honest, you know, if Florida State or Miami's in a different situation than Iowa and Nebraska is, and from a variety of standpoints. So I think it's just challenging to try and get those Big 12 teams, on the schedule. Just because, again, Doug, I wish I could give you a better answer in terms of the language, but I don't know what the feasibility of that really looks like to try and get the Big 12 back on the roster. I know there are a lot of people around here, Doug, that are excited that even the idea of seeing the Big 12 and flirting with them one last time is they're the, you know, your ex-girlfriend, your ex-wife that, you know, you had some good times together. There's a lot of people around here pretty excited about the idea of seeing Big 12 teams back on the schedule.
You know, what's fascinating about it is that, okay, prestige-wise, it improves going to the Big 10. Financially, it improves going to the Big 10. The difference, though, is you take away Texas, right? That's really what they lost the chance for Nebraska to recruit the Texas football player. And, you know, Scott Frost is trying to bring Florida because of his ties and coaching in Florida. Even that's hard, obviously. Everybody's fighting over Texas. But when you don't play 10 games a year against Texas-based schools, your talent level is not going to be the same. And so to play those schools and yet find a way to maintain your status in the Big Ten and the financial aspect of being in the Big Ten, that's part of the goal. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think I've been thinking about this a lot over the last 48 hours. Doug, you tell me, name a school that is unequivocally in a better spot after changing conferences, other than maybe TCU in the Big 12, but that doesn't really count because that's kind of you're moving up. Maybe Creighton in the Big East from a basketball standpoint. Again, you kind of throw that out because it's a move up from what I would call lateral moves, Power 5 to other Power 5. Name me a school that is unequivocally in a better spot. And there's something
doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's something to that, right?
Look, Missouri makes more money. But they and they have gotten to an SEC championship game, but that's because their schedule is soft and they're frankly a mess. And oh yeah, by the way, they've had to put so much into facilities and into all their other sports in order to compete, and they're not really that competitive anymore. And you're not able to compete in baseball, and the travel is ridiculous to get to some of these SEC cities as opposed to the Big 12. I agree with you there. A&M, A&M, the stadium is bigger. They're 8-5. They're 8-5 in the Big 12. They're 8-5. And they probably would have had a chance to compete nationally more if they were in the Big 12 than being in the SEC. So again, their prestige and value may have gone up financially, but they're really the same program. They are what they are. So I'm with you on it. TCU, I would say Utah, getting into the Pac-12 is probably better. Yeah. Although I'm not sure Utah is actually unequivocally better. Like when Utah is in the same league as Air Force and BYU and Colorado State, and you may not have made the same money, but you have your stadiums are always filled, and you got to have those regional rivalries, you know?
No so, question.
Yeah, we get away from that so much.
Yeah, I don't know what that really points to, but it's something. I mean, and I get it, man. You know, there's a harsh financial reality that everyone is faced with, whether it's you and paying off your mortgage, or it's a university paying the bills, or an athletic department doing what they got to do. So I'm not necessarily begrudging people for chasing the money, but there's fallout to that.
Are you better off? That's it. That's what you're saying. Are you better off? And the answer is no.
Are
really.
You better off? Are you unequivocally better off if you're viewing it through anything else other than the check that you are cashing?
Well, but with the problem, I agree. And the problem with the idea of it's the check that you're cashing is you're spending more, right? You're spending more. This is what people do right now. Like, look, my neighborhood, everybody is selling their house because you can get crazy numbers for it because people feel like they can spend more because money is so cheap. Right? Like, man, if I can get it for 2.5, like, dude, I'll do what it got. Take that. I'll take on whatever. But the problem is that, yeah, you're making more in your house, but then you're spending more in your next house. Yeah, right. I'm only paying 2.5. Like, you're still spending more money anyway.
And so it's interesting. And obviously the different, you know, the talking heads over the course of the last 24 hours that have come out and eviscerated Nebraska, whether it's, you know, Desmond Howard on ESPN, Michael Wilbon on ESPN, who, you know, I have the utmost respect for those guys. But I do think it speaks to something interesting to the dynamic of Nebraska in the Big Ten. That, you know, you stop and think about it. And what I'm about to lay out is some of these situations are very layered and nuanced, but you'll understand the spirit of my point. I mean, Penn State can have Jerry Sandusky. Michigan State can have the Larry Nassar scandal. Ohio State can pretty much kind of protect a serial domestic abuser. Maryland had a player die at practice about a year ago. Iowa has been littered with racial allegations throughout the course of this entire offseason. You don't hear anybody say, kick them out of the Big Ten. But Nebraska, who's a new member of the Big Ten, not a member of the old guard, expresses a desire, hey, we'd like to continue to play this fall. And it's like, get them out. Get them out of the conference. Get them out of here. And I think that's, I don't know, I think that speaks to something subconsciously when you're kind of, you weren't there from the beginning and all of a sudden you are there.
Yeah. No, you're a newbie and you're not a longstanding member. And so they judge you differently. By the way, I hope you bought Tesla stock before today. It's up 100 points.
Man, it was your tweet that alerted me. And then I checked it out. Like, I would have, that's unfortunate.
My financial guy, but I called him, this is 2013. I called him and I was looking at buying a Tesla off a guy. And he was like, you know what you should do? You should buy Tesla stock. And then you end up paying off the car with the stock. Trust me on this one. It'll go past 200. It was $93 at the time. It closed today at $1,554.76. Yeah, he's still my financial guy for whatever reason. Anyway,
wow.
Glad your kid got 30 minutes away. Congrats on the new baby. And thanks for being our guy in Nebraska.
You got it, Doug. Appreciate you.
Daniel Jeremiah joins the show upcoming next. What will it be like for scouts in the NFL without a college football season or a hybrid college football season? That's upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome him in. You hear his podcast. It's called Move the Sticks. You see him on the NFL Network, and he also covers the L.A. Chargers, who are one of the two teams that are the focal points for Hard Knocks. And last night, DJ, we learned that Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, had, in fact, at some point, contracted COVID-19. It was kind of just a matter-of-fact way in which he handled it. What were your thoughts first on the show last night?
Well, first of all, I'm in Dallas right now, Doug, so I my daughter is going to college. It's her freshman year, so I just drove from, you know, where I live all the way out here to Dallas. I was in the car all day yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see Hard Knocks, but my phone blew up with people texting me about Coach Lynn's speech and how he admitted he had COVID at one point in time. So I have not seen the episode, but I was not surprised that people's reaction to seeing the episode was that they were universally impressed with Coach Lynn and just the presence that he has. That was not surprising that it came off like that.
Yep. Okay, so let's get to what's most important. So you left San Diego. What school?
Yep.
I mean, if you want, do you want to give a TCU, SMU?
She's going to Dallas Baptist. So she's a Division II school out here in Dallas. They're in the Lone Star Conference, and she's going to run cross country and track.
Okay, so what was your route? Did you go straight there? Did you go Grand Canyon? What'd you do?
My goal was so I took my 13-year-old son with me to be my wingman here to hang out with me, and then wife and daughter flying in. So our goal was to go to Las Cruces day one, which is about 9 or 10 hours of the 19-hour drive, and I got into my old scouting mode where I hit Las Cruces, and I was like, hey, I'm feeling good. Let's keep rolling. Hit El Paso, still going. So I made it to Odessa, which is 15 hours of the 19-hour drive I knocked out on the first day, and we finished up the last four today.
Where'd you stay in Odessa?
We stayed in an Odessa Courtyard Marriott, and I had to do – you know, all this stuff happened, with college football. So I was driving. I was between Phoenix and Tucson when the Big Ten decided to end the season. So the network, NFL Network, called and said, we got to get you on TV. So I pulled off the freeway into a Denny's parking lot in the middle of nowhere and did FaceTime, did a live TV interview there. And then I hit another truck stop a couple hours later to do Total Access, which there were some very strange looking people walking around. And then this morning,
did anybody know? Did you tell anybody this stuff? Did anybody know?
I told the network, like, hey, I'm on the road. You guys know that, right? Yeah, they were cool with it. They said, just make sure you're not actually physically driving while you're doing the interview. That would have been bad. So I did. I just pulled over, and then this morning I did Good Morning Football from the beautiful courtyard of the Marriott courtyard in Odessa, Texas. So
using those Marriott points, huh? Or loading up
what
Marriott points.
I was secretly excited to finally rack up some Marriott points after not having, filled any over the last 5 months.
I hear you. Did you stop at Sonic's along the way? Did you do a? Did you
Dude,
try a
Doug,
Whataburger?
You know me. You've known me for a while now. Where did I stop for the
In-N-Out
meals? Yes. No. Second guess. Every time we interview me, I'm at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. I had Chick-fil-A for lunch today.
I had Chick-fil-A for yesterday for lunch and for dinner. And then I actually had Chick-fil-A for breakfast this morning. So three straight Chick-fil-A's. And then when we got into Texas, I had to take my son. He's never been here. So I had to take him to a Whataburger just so he could have a Whataburger.
What, like, did you do breakfast on a bun or did you do the burger?
Well, we got into Texas, it was lunchtime. So we did a burger. But, Chick-fil-A breakfast is the most underrated thing. You get the Chick-fil-A little minis, those little minis and the little bits. Those things are unbelievable. That's a win.
You're still doing the grilled, or you giving into the
I had that was the first time I'd had fried. Today was the first time I've had fried food in probably like 3 months. So it did not. It was that little 3 hour stretch before I had to get gas again on the side of the road was not an enjoyable experience.
Yeah,
so it was good when I got a little break there.
All right. Well, you didn't get pulled over. I got pulled over once. Actually, my one time I drove to Stillwater when I was going to school. I stopped at Lake Havasu and hung out with a buddy and his family. And then I drove straight through, kind of same thing, just plowed through. But I got pulled over outside somewhere in New Mexico, but I was on tribal lands. And I'll never forget that.
Oh,
I got
wow.
a ticket. I never got a ticket. And they're like, I was like, this ticket looks different. They're like, well, it's on our tribal lands. I was like, okay, so who do I pay? They're like, well, you send it into our courthouse. It's like, what happens if I don't pay? They're like, well, then you're a fugitive from justice. So I was like, in the United States? Like, no, in our native, in our lands. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I rolled out the window, I took off, and there's a Native American country that I cannot go back to. That was 20 years ago.
By the way, you have somebody who grew up in SoCal and then went to school back east. When I went, I think it was my freshman year when I was going to Northeast Louisiana, I had a truck, and I threw all my stuff in the back of the truck, and my brother is 7 years older than me. We got in the truck in the Ford Ranger, and we were driving to Louisiana. As two dumb Southern California kids who don't realize the type of rain you get when you get into Texas.
Oh, just
so
deluge.
We had to find a gas station, and we're going 100 miles an hour to get to a gas station and buy tarps. And here you've got two non-handy dudes trying to tarp down all of my belongings in the back of this truck. It was not good.
I was thinking of you the other day. My son, we have an adjustable mobile hoop, one of those Spalding deals or whatever, real glass backboard, which is an absolute must. Anyway, the rim was loose. I lowered it, took the little fascia off, tightened it like so it was perfectly done, put the fascia back on, screwed that thing in, and I was like, that's one of the most handy things I've ever done in my life. I was thinking of DJ and the hoop out front of his house. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of your scouting days, how do you evaluate guys if there's half the teams aren't playing?
Yeah, it's apples and oranges, right? I mean, I've talked to probably 8 general managers over the last 2 days about the challenge that you're going to have. And you're going to be going back, not only watching all of 2019 tape. If a guy's played in 2018, you're going to go back, try and watch more of that. And then you got to try and do your best to keep up with where this guy's working out, where he's training, and how he's looking through that process. But it's going to be a huge advantage. If you're a kid that's getting to play in the SEC or the ACC, huge advantage for those kids over the Pac-12 and the Big Ten when it comes to draft season. I mean, it's just, you're going to feel so much more comfortable and confident about your evaluation.
Do you think that the Big 12 and the SEC and ACC pull it off?
I would say I'm not doubting the SEC at all. The other two, I'm still, you know, cautiously optimistic, I would say. But I mean, I just, do you see the SEC slowing down at all? I don't see that happening.
No, and I think the Big 12 has a good plan in place, right? They're like, look, if you test positive, we're going to do an EKG, we're going to take a blood test, we're going to do a heart MRI, we're going to do it all the kind of the right way, because that's the big fear now is the heart thing.
Yeah, no, and everything that I've read makes me feel good about the plans that are in place for the Big 12, and everybody seems to be confident on the ACC. I'm just going historically, and I'm saying, even with all the best plans in place, you're still going to have a little bit of a, you know, for lack of a better phrase, to have the stomach for positive tests that are going to come along. And I think the SEC's will to plow through those might be different than everybody else's.
Yeah. I do think that one good there's some good things that have come out of this. We live in this era where we feel like, and I think the media has bought into it, because there are players who have complained, there are parents that have complained, and there's, you know, agents, but a lot of it is the media, in that we echo the sentiment sometimes of the squeaky wheel, which is, you know, hey, these players, they get used and abused. And you start to realize, not just in level of medical treatment and preparation, but the players themselves want to play. Like, they like playing in college. They like the benefits. Like, this is no more risky to them. And I think it changes how many people at least should see how players truly believe they are treated while on it. Like, would they take more money if you give it to them? Like, sure. Who's not going to do? Who's going to turn that down? Yeah, but in terms of why they're actually there, because they want to go to college and they want to play football and they want to hang with their friends.
Yeah. When it comes down to having it or not having it, you know, having it in its current form versus not having it at all, I think it's a pretty obvious decision for everybody. Obviously, if you're given the choice of having it and having it plus cash, you're all going to be in favor of having it plus extra cash. But when you're faced, as they're seeing right now, with not having it, man, it's nobody wants that.
Okay, wait, you just sent me a picture. That's the new half court in the backyard?
So, that's the new. So because you shamed me,
yeah,
I did a bunch of stuff in the backyard. So I put some concrete down there, and I've got a legit hoop. Now that's
a legit hoop. That's a big hoop. That's a 54 inch span. That's 54
not a 54 inch dunk hoop. 54 inch dunk hoop is it's good.
Yeah, and now you gonna do the lines? Don't do the sport court. I don't think you don't need the sport court on top of the cement.
No, right? I'm good with what it is right now. That's all I need. I have a little tiny piece of blue tape that I've marked off to where the foul line is, and
sure,
I'm good.
Now, you know how to count the foul line, right? Like, there are some people that don't know, like, foul line to hoop is foul line to center to yeah, how you measure actually the foul line. Like, the old expression of, well, it's a 15 foot to make a free throw. That's not actually true to make a free throw. It's 13-6 to make the free throw. It's 15 feet to the edge of the backboard.
Yeah, that's where you measure it from the backboard, 15 feet out from the backboard. Correct.
Correct.
That's how I did it. I'm glad to know that was correct. I did not know that there was some confusion on that. So
no, I think there's a common misconception. Okay, let me get to a couple other things. Le'Veon Bell says he feels so much better this year. Doesn't that, and we talk about guys that are going to miss this year. There have been guys that are going to sit out this year. You know, in at the end of the day, Le'Veon is essentially admitting it's really hard to work out by yourself for a year, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, then, I mean, I've heard he is in phenomenal shape right now. So I'm curious to see how a lot of these guys look. I think you're going to see some guys one way in terms of they're in the best shape of their life that have really put in the work, and you're going to see, really, you might have to wait till September till some of us get to see these guys. If we don't, there's no preseason, you're going to see guys in their uniforms and you go, what the heck happened to that guy? There's going to be a lot of those moments, once the season kicks off. But in terms of Le'Veon Bell specifically, I actually think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a good year this year.
Yeah. I tend to believe the same. Okay. Let's kind of, spitball around the league just a little bit. Okay. So the Chargers and Rams are both on Hard Knocks. It's interesting for the Chargers to be on because they are a franchise which, as you know, very seldom discussed, almost never covered. Like, this is a little bit of a change for them in the way in which they can go about their business.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think the Rams, having already been through that, although a lot of that roster is turned over, but you're coming off, you know, the Super Bowl year that they had, all the attention. And I think this Charger team, and the fact that it's kind of a new team as well, when you look at Phillip Rivers not being there. So it's all new, and I think in some ways, I think there's a good energy that comes with that. I know some people look at the downside of Hard Knocks kind of being in your business, but I do think it does supply a little bit extra energy, and I think this team is pretty young and pretty energetic. So I'm anxious to see the episodes, to see how it all comes together, but I think it's something that could be a good thing for the Chargers. I think the Rams having a spotlight on them and attention, you know, when you've recently been to a Super Bowl, this is going to pale in comparison to that, so it won't be that big of an adjustment.
What do you think the Raiders look like this year?
I mean, well, they're a lot faster, and I think they should be better defensively. And look, Carr put it out there and said, you know, he's out to prove everybody wrong, and this is his kind of big year. So this is kind of all set up for him to have a big time season, going back to the way, I think, what was it, 2016, before he got hurt, when he was playing really well. So I think expectations for that team are much higher than they've been in a very long time. And I think Derek's kind of put it out there that he's put the expectations on himself that those have risen as well.
How do you think the Redskins look? You know, you lose a running back and a guy, you know, he's been injured, but he's a super talented guy. They found ways with Adrian Peterson in the past to, you know, what does cutting a starting running back mean to the Washington Redskins at this point?
I don't think it really matters. I just think they've got some good pieces on defense, Doug, but they're a distant fourth in that division before any of this, you know, before the stuff with Darius Geis happened. I don't think, obviously, this doesn't help, but
let me ask you this then. I mean, Darius Geis, like, I had heard a lot of negative stuff in terms, you know, when he was drafted. Like, hey, you know, what's this stuff with Geis? And people just like, look, he's super talented, but he's crazy. Now, I don't know if they talked about it was violence towards women, but it was just like he might actually be nuts. Isn't this one of those I told you so with the NFL draft in terms of red flag moments?
Well, I knew there was, I just vaguely remember, you know, there was a reason why he dropped. I think we even talked about it during the draft broadcast, that this was not anything to do with, you know, what you saw on the tape. This was, you know, just some other concerns that existed. I'd have to go back through my notes and pull up what those specifically were. But I know he was definitely drafted below his talent level. And that's a lot of times that happens. I think people can be quick to criticize some of these teams because we have some success stories that are prominent. And you say, this guy got a second chance. And like Tyrann Mathieu's a great example. And he'd be the first one to tell you, like, he didn't have all of his, you know, he didn't have all his ducks in a row at that point in time in his life, but he's grown up and matured and obviously been a phenomenal leader and a player. But there's Tyrann Mathieu, and there's a lot of other guys that have had issues that were obvious to teams, and they held off, and then a lot of people ripped those teams for not taking a talented player, and it turns out the team might have been right in the long run. So, unfortunately, I think this is another one of those cases.
How's your son enjoying that Texas heat?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I've never complained about it. Wearing a mask doesn't bother me at all. You know, you go into the grocery store in Southern California, it's really no big deal. When you're lugging your daughter's suitcase up the hill to this hotel and you're wearing a mask and it's 106 out, yeah, that's not enjoyable. I'm not going to lie. It was not enjoyable.
It is so hot there. All right, I'm going to send you a steakhouse. It's pretty good. I don't know if it's open. I don't know the case of what's open, what's not. Congrats on the new backyard. That's pretty phenomenal. And I love
that
I shamed you.
That you shamed me. Doug Gottlieb shamed me into a finer hoop. And I am on a live radio interview. I text you the picture of said hoop. That's good radio right there, Doug.
That is really good radio. But also, it means a lot to me. It means like you're actually, our relationship's where it's like, you know what? You're right. Like, I got a little extra cash. You know, I'm doing well for myself. I killed it the NFL draft. Like, yeah, I want a glass backboard, and I want a half court, and I want it now. I will point out, next step, you got to have a pool. Got to have a pool.
I'll show you the other side of the yard, Doug.
Oh, okay. Well, there also can be an invite down there. We can do little workouts and all that stuff. safe travels back. Documented on social media. Thanks for joining us.
See you both later.
All right, that's the one and only Daniel Jeremiah joining us. Two NFL teams hope to have fans in the stands next season. Find out who next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The Press.
Washington football team, Doug, saying no fans at home games this year, but a different story in Baltimore and in Big D. We start with the Cowboys. His Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, said they plan on playing some home games in front of fans this season.
Right.
They expect to have protocols in place by the end of the week, but Jones says that AT&T Stadium is big enough where they can social distance with pods of fans around the facilities as they work within state guidelines. Jerry also pointed out the airflow with AT&T Stadium as being helpful. Now, the Ravens are reaching out to the state of Maryland, hoping to have about 7,500 fans attend home games. That's down by about half from what the team had hoped a month ago.
Okay. I guess, you know, AT&T is a retractable dome, but they never open it. They never open it. So I wonder if the airflow thing, right, if he's actually going to open the stadium.
And you've got, I think, you know, there's side panels that they, you know.
Yeah, they can open that as well to get the air. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's the case as well. But we'll have to see if they're able to do that. But the Cowboys and Ravens trying to get people in the building. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Patience to Jack with you today.
Oh, sorry, Jerry. I'm going to talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo now because he's been banned one game for his headbutt of Mo Wagner. I don't know how much it's going to hurt the Bucks because he's going to miss tomorrow's final seeding game where the Bucks already have the number one seed in the East. But it could help the Grizzlies. That's the Bucks' opponent. And the Grizzlies fighting in that 8-9 matchup to try to get in that play-in series. So no Giannis against the Grizzlies tomorrow.
Huh. I mean, but he's not playing in a game that he wasn't going to play in anyway.
Right. They should make him play. That would be more punishment.
That's right. It's better punishment. Got to play 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that would be that'd be something. Celtics gave Brad Stevens a contract extension. Pacers gave head coach Nate McMillan a one-year extension.
Wait, how is that possible? I thought Brad Stevens would be the next head coach at North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, Indiana, UCLA, UNLV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$1 billion. Impossible!
Augusta National Golf Club announced the 2020 Masters, taking place in November, will not have patrons in attendance. Guests also not allowed. But the Kentucky Derby says they'll allow less than 23,000 fans to attend next month's event, but no fans will be allowed in the infield and no general admission tickets will be allowed.
Roger that.
Okay. So, not exactly a show for the people.
No.
Right? All the cheap stuff you can't have. But if you want to pay a lot of money, we will somehow find a way to welcome you back.
Okay.
Fans will have to pony up for those tickets.
Oh, they're not horsing around?
Yes. The Big 12 not horsing around either, releasing their conference-only portion of the football schedule and also saying fall sports will take place in the conference. OU Texas at the Cotton Bowl. No fans on October 10th. Big 12 title game on either December 12th or the 19th.
Now, is the Cotton Bowl going to be played in the Cotton Bowl or the Cotton Bowl going to be played in Jerry's World where they play the Cotton Bowl?
I think it's going to be at the Cotton Bowl.
The Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, Big Tex right outside it.
Cotton Bowl.
Hey, get out there and press.
Cotton that Bowl. Was the press.
Senseless.
Like the idea of the Daniel Jeremiah road trip. By the way, DJ sent me a video of the pool now they put in. Life is good when you're Daniel Jeremiah. That is a good-looking pool. So, anyway, new backyard. Huh? That NFL Network money. That's what happened. They didn't want to give it to Dion. They gave it to DJ, which I kind of agree with. All right. So far, three big conferences are going to play, but stay tuned. Jordan Palmer and Brandon Weeden tomorrow. Doug Gottlieb Show.